Hi and welcome. My name is Rich Pacini, and today is August 2nd, 2021. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say thank you to Anchor for letting me use their platform to create my podcast. It is greatly appreciated. And for those who are new to my podcast, this is episode 11. And today's topic, I want to talk about purchasing untested items to sell on eBay. So I hope you guys could stick around and hear what I have to say. If you like this podcast or any of the other podcasts, please check them out when you get the chance and let me know what you think. If you want to see me talk about other things, please reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to oblige in any way I can. But in the meantime, let's get started here. And I just want to talk about a little about eBay. Give me a little bio about myself. I've been on eBay since July of 1999, which is over 20 years. I'm not only am I a top-rated plus seller, I'm also a power seller. Basically, people probably want to know what's the difference between a top-rated plus and a power seller. Power seller is basically you met the threshold for their, their required amount and revenue and sales to, I met that threshold and therefore I became a power seller like that. Plus there's some other little things that go along with it as well. Also, being a top rated plus seller, it just shows that, I'm required to meet certain standards or certain rules or guidelines that eBay put in place in order to maintain that top rated seller plus just top rated seller plus. I just met the requirements, what they asked, meaning that I offer free returns, I offer one day shipping, and there's a couple of little things that I can't remember offhand, anyway. That's neither here nor there. Like I said again, it's something that they require in order to become a top-rated seller plus. So, I met the requirements, I met the thresholds, and that's why I am where I am today as far as that part goes. I believe, though, for those who are new to eBay, they did away with the power seller program. From what I understand, it was, I think, in June 20th, they did away with that, with the power seller program. But needless to say, you're still considered a power seller, but it's now done through the top rated plus. So, okay, today's topic I want to talk about is buying untested items to sell on eBay. And a lot of people probably think like, why would a person want to buy an untested item on eBay, for eBay, it's not tested. And I think a lot of people, I'm not saying a lot of people would think it's an oddity, but, I purchased untested items before. I sell right now at the present time, I think I have over 100 items listed, not much. There's people that have thousands of items listed. I'm a small volume seller, by the way. I think the most I ever had, I was up to close to 400 listings at one time. And, people always feel that, the more listings you have, the more success you're going to have. And I don't know, me personally, I didn't find that to be true. Okay, I'll be upfront and honest with you. I did not find that to be true. So, for me, I don't buy into that. Just like they say, you got to, in order to be successful on eBay, you gotta go out and source every day. You gotta go out and you gotta list every day. And let's face it, folks, if it's not in your budget to do that, you can't go out and buy stuff every single. I can't. I don't have the resources for that. I can't go out every single day. And I know there's friends that I made. I made friends at these thrift stores, and there's eBay sellers, some Amazon sellers, and they'll tell you, we get talking. And when I bring that question up, I say, there's people always tell you, like, you know, these successful sellers on eBay will tell you, in order to make it in eBay, you got to go out and source every day. You got to list every day, and that'll bring you higher in the search ranking and so on and so forth. But, you know, folks, as I said it before in my YouTube videos, if it's not in your budget, you can't, you know, I always say my wallet dictates what I could spend, what I could buy. Plain and simple. I mean, I don't have the budget to go out and source every single day. I don't list every single day. people are probably saying, well, if you're a small volume seller, how'd you meet the requirements to become a power seller? Well, because throughout the course of the year, you know, I did have listings and I didn't make the money to make the threshold, but, you know, the threshold back then to become a power seller, I think you had to be on the law on eBay for so many months, have a good record, you know, be top rated, you know, top rated, like, in other words, have 100% positive feedback. And back then, I think to be a power seller for a small person like myself, small seller, I think you had to make $1,200 within the 12-month calendar year, whatever. So, I mean, you know, if you can't make $1,200 a year on eBay, that's pretty bad. But then afterwards, they anteed it up. And I remember talking to the eBay teammate about that. I said, how come you guys did that? One minute you're saying you only had to make $1,200 within 12 months. And now you anteed up to 35 or whatever, 3,000, you know, 3,000 plus, I think. And they said, well, it's a challenge. You know, we figured, you know, if you could do that, you could do this amount. So, you know, if you meet that, like I said, again, if you met that threshold, you became a power seller, you know. But anyway, I don't buy into that notion where you got to list every day and you got to buy every day. Some of you out there, you may beg to differ. And that's okay. We all entitled to opinions, you know. We're all entitled to our opinions, and how we run this business is how we run it. But on the other hand, like I said again, I approach things a little different, and I think to some point my method works. I just last month, for the month of July, to be honest with you, wasn't really a good month for me. I'll be honest. I only did 10 sales. And I just did a video for August 1st in regards to my sales for July. And I only did 10 sales. That's it. And I said it in my video on my YouTube channel that I will only be doing end-of-month sales when I do 10 and above. I'm not going to sit there if I did 3 and say, oh, my end-of-month sales for such and such month was only 3. I'm not going to do that. I figure 10 and above is a good number to work with when it comes to, you know, sharing your end of month sales with your viewers. So let me tell you, I will say this, and I'm being upfront and honest. I wouldn't quit my day job, let's put it that way, to pursue eBay at this point. I love eBay. Like I said, I've been with eBay for over 20 years. I had a full-time job right up to the 2016. The company, I went through two company layoffs and one company bankruptcy. And, you know, it stunk because I tell you the truth, I was doing eBay as a hobby, a part-time hobby. You know, it turned out to be a part-time. Now it's a full-time hobby. But I really enjoyed my job. I love the people I work with. And it was sad, you know, that I had to, you know, that the company had to have layoff. I think 1,000 people their jobs went overseas. And I was part of that layoff. And I was hoping to retire there. I was hoping to make a career there. And, you know, but it didn't work out that way. But anyway, so I kind of like started doing eBay. I started doing my YouTube channel full time. And I did this eBay turn into a hobby, part-time hobby. Now it's a full-time hobby for me. People are probably wondering, well, what are you doing for income? Well, I have, you know, I collect, you know, a check from the government. So I'm okay with that right now. You know, it's keeping me going right now. And what really does help when it comes to, being in this situation I'm in, It pays to have all your bills paid. I don't have any credit card debt. Thank God for that. The car's paid for, the house is paid for, and everything. So I don't have any credit card debt. You know, it's all my little medial bills, you know, your internet bills and your car insurance and things of that nature. But as far as credit card debt, I don't have any credit card debt. Thank God. But anyway, on this podcast here with Anchor, I only have, they only give you 30 minutes to do a podcast. As far as I know, I don't know if you could, if you sign up for different ones, I don't know if they have it where you can go higher than that, but I think a half hour podcast is good enough anyway. I don't know if a person would want to listen to me for a whole hour. But anyway, I know I'm kind of like, I kind of went off into a little tailspin there, give me a little, you know, bio about myself, and I'm sorry about that, but I just wanted to just let you know, where I'm coming from. In regards to, again, getting back to, you know, with purchasing untested items, a lot of people, I mean, if you're a newbie to eBay and you're thinking about selling on eBay, that might not be the route for you to go, okay? And I said it before in my other videos that with eBay or even like starting a YouTube channel, you got to experiment with it. It is. You're experimenting with the, with both of these platforms, on the selling platform and also the YouTube creating platform. As far as that, as far as I'm concerned, you gotta do what works best for you. With eBay, it's basically a common sense type of business. If people want to, you know, if people want to get involved with this here. If you are thinking about selling on eBay, you're, you know, you're procrastinating, thinking, "Oh, I don't know if I should want to. I don't know if I really want to sell on eBay." It all depends how you feel. You know, it's like what you want to do. You know, the more time you put into it, hopefully you'll get that. You'll make way. You'll make headway with it. It's not easy. It's not the easiest road to success. I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying I'm successful. I'm pretty much an optimist. I'm more of an optimist than a pessimist. I don't give up that easy. And I wouldn't recommend anybody to give up on their dreams or their passions. I say that in my YouTube channel, you know, my YouTube videos as well. If you're going to start, if you're a newbie to YouTube and you think about starting a YouTube channel, the same thing. I would not give up on my dreams. I have 900 subscribers. And I'm trying to grow that channel. And let me tell you something, it's taking a long time to get there. People say, well, you're working your way, another, you know, you're working your way to it, to the, what do you call it there? Hit that 1,000 subscriber mark, right? It's not easy. I'll be honest with you. That's another thing too. It's like, but we're not here to talk about YouTube. We're here to talk about eBay. But anyway, so getting back to, you know, the buying untested items, merchandise to sell on eBay. I did a video about that, and my thing is this, my take is this, you know, when you go to thrift stores, and I like to deal with electronics, okay, buying clothing is one thing, that's, you know, you need to talk about that. We're talking about, when I say untested items, I'm referring to electronics. Yeah, I buy electronics, I buy printers, I buy digital clock radios, I buy things of that nature, you know, and sometimes when I purchase these items, I only, what do you call it? I get things that can't be tested, plain and simple. I had a printer. Well, actually, I had this printer. Someone gave it to me. It was a printer, and it was untested. I had to order cartridges for it in order to test it out to make sure it worked. And it's nice and clean. It's a nice, clean printer. And I thought, you know, hey, this thing will definitely sell. And it probably would sell. But the only problem was there was no way to test it. It had no ink cartridges in there. So what I had to do is I went on eBay and I ordered ink cartridges, brand new ink cartridges for this printer. I installed it. I was going to do a demo video and show how to, you know, show people how to set it up and where to go to get the software drivers and print out a manual and so on and so forth. And it turns out to be that the printer, the carriage, the ink carriage, where you put the ink in there, it would get jammed. It was jamming. So therefore, I had to put that printer up for parts on eBay. Now, I'm getting views I mean, I have a One Watcher on it, but you know, some people, if you're a printer technician and you know how to fix these things, it could be something really minor. Yeah, that printer there was going to go up for, you know, for work as a working printer. And I would have got a nice dollar for it, nice buck. I got it for nothing. So that would have been pretty much a clear profit. I mean, and the ink, I had to buy the ink for it, the ink cartridges. I think it was a total of $14. I got them off of eBay. It was for an HP printer. I like HP printers. I don't buy any other printers but the HPs. I love HP printers. I have an HP setup. I mean, my desktop is an HP, and my laser printer is HP. I got an HP webcam I use to do my videos, and HP laptop, and an HP all-in-one. I love HP. I love the product. But anyway, so yeah. So now that's an untested item. But this is what I want to say though, in purchasing the untested items, you know, if you take the gamble, which I do, and you know, if you got the money to do it, to invest in an untested item, you know, then I'd say go for it. But if you're unsure of yourself and you go into a thrift store and you see a printer or something like for me, I see a printer and I say to myself, and it can't be tested. There's no way to test it out. And you're a person that's like, well, no, I don't know if I want to start investing into something that's untested because it could be broken. Then don't go for it. Don't go for it. Plain and simple. Don't go for it because, you know, you may regret it. But let me tell you something. I will say this in purchasing an untested item. Again, you could always sell it for parts. Another little quick story I want to share with you guys, and I mentioned this in my video. I picked up at my local thrift store a little, I love, and Sony is my favorite for recording stuff. I mean, I have Sony digital cameras and a video, and I also have a CyberShot handheld, you know, for his digital still pictures. And I love my Sony. I also have one that does super night vision and stuff like that. It's a recorder, video recorder. Use the 8mm cassettes, I think, or no, Super 8 color, whatever, 8mm. I don't know if it's 8mm. I don't know, it's a cassette. Anyway, I love them. They're older cameras. I got them around 2003, and they work great. I love them, and I use them to this day. But anyway, without getting too much in that, I picked up this little handy cam. It's the DCR PC-1, and again, untested. I paid a decent dollar for it, okay, even though it's untested, and I had to buy the remote control separate. It was a remote control that actually comes with the thing, and this camera is palm size. I mean, I'm not saying I have big hands, but when I put that camera in my hands, if I turn my hand sideways and you didn't see the camera strap, you would say, wow, that you know, he's got a camera in his hand. That's how small this thing is. It's an older version, an old model, but let me tell you something, it is made really well. I gotta say one thing, I gotta give kudos to Sony for the way their products are made, you know. I mean, even my other camera I have, the TRV-340, whatever it is, it's an older version, and that thing is heavy, and that's a camera that you can't do selfies with it because your hand would fall apart afterwards. That's how heavy it is. It's almost like 2 pounds, and you know, you might think, oh well, if you know that's not a lot, you know. Well, I'm not saying it's a lot, but if you're doing a video where you're not going to use a camera like that to do a selfie. I know I'm not. I mean, my arm would be tired. That's how heavy it is, but. That's why I was all set to sell this camera. I was going to sell it. And what I had to get in order to, again, this was untested, okay? Mind you, this was an untested unit. And I paid a decent buck for it too. And it came with a battery, but no way to charge it. So what did I do is, again, I went on eBay. I bought these battery charger with an additional battery from K-Star, it's called. That's the battery company, well, the company that sells these battery chargers. And it's a K-Star. And it came with an extra, I ordered with an extra battery. You could order it, I think, with 4 batteries, 6 batteries, something crazy like that, you know. But I didn't go. I just want the next one because the camera came with the battery. So anyway, when I got it in the mail, I ordered it. So I said, geez, I hope this thing works. You know, if it does, I'm going to test it out and see. If I like it, I'll keep it. If I don't like it, I'll sell it. So I wait about a week, and the charger comes in with the new battery. And I charged it up. It took hours to charge it. Believe it or not, they say it takes so many hours to charge the battery. They ain't kidding. I think I had it charging for about, almost, 4 or 5 hours, maybe even longer. But anyway, so I waited very patiently, and I pop it in there, and I said, oh, here we go, to test the time, right? You know, test the faith is. Let's see if it works. It's an untested camera. I don't know if it's going to work. It might be a no-show. So I put the battery in there, and lo and behold, it powered on. I tested everything out. I have a data link. Well, not a link. I have a special cable that works with these older cameras where you could plug in. It's a USB thing. I think it's called Diamond. The company is, I think, Diamond that puts it out. And what you do is you would plug this into your camera, and then you plug the USB into your computer. And it'll automatically, you could upload it. I use Filmora X and Filmora the 8.76 version to do my video editing. And Filmora will not recognize the camera, so I have to, how in order for me to do the uploads to get it onto Filmora, I use CyberLink PowerDirector 14. I have to go into that program, plug it in. To use the capture feature in CyberLink PowerDirector, PowerDirector 14. And then what I got to do is go into Filmora either or the Filmora X, which is the new version, the 10.55 version, or I use the 8.76 version. Either one I can use. And then I have to do, a screen record. And that's how I end up doing it. But let me tell you something. I took this little guy out. I took it out in broad daylight. I was taking videos, with the photos and the daylight and stuff like that. The sunny day was nice. It takes beautiful, beautiful pictures, nice video and stuff like that. So, for those who don't know, I ended up deciding to keep it. So, yeah, that was an untested item. Okay. And it was a gamble. Because people say, well, how much did you pay? Now, I don't know if I mentioned it. If I did, I forgot. But I think it was to get the battery charger with an extra battery. I think it was $10 or something like that. It wasn't much. I don't remember. I don't think it was much. And I said, let me get it. And it's a gamble. But let me tell you something, though, folks. This is the thing I want to talk about when it comes to purchasing untested items. You could always sell it for parts not working. Seriously. A lot of people, they think, oh, if I buy something and get stuck with it. I'll give you an example. I sell Farberware coffee pots, right? And I bought the 2-4 cup model. I also get the 12 cup and I sell the 8 ones. I don't have it right to me. I think the last Farberware I had is gone. I mean, a complete one. So anyway, I bought the 2-4 cup, clean, clean, clean little coffee pot, clean in and out. I didn't test it that day, all right? And people say, well, how do you test a coffee pot like that? When you're testing that out, those type of pots, the Farberware, I'm talking about the 138 model, 134 models, what you do is under the bottom, when you plug it in the thrift store, right? Because you're not going to, hey, can I put some water in here? What you do is when you're in a thrift store and you're testing the pot out, plug it in and feel there's like a little screw on the bottom of the pot. Feel it. If it gets warm, then the heating element works. If it don't, then the heating element is shot. Okay. For some reason, I just looked at it and said, this looks great. It looks like it's like brand new. This baby's got to work, And I pay $5 for it. Okay. Now, for the $5, I brought it home. I said, look, what's the worst that can happen? If necessary, I could always take it, and sell it for parts, sell it as a whole thing together for parts not working, whatever, or just putting there, I'm selling a pot, but it needs a heating element. What I did, and I remember, I learned this from my relative that's in the auto used business. When you sell your car to the used guys, the junkies, they call them, whatever, junk parts, whatever. When they buy those cars off of you and they give you, like I sold an old car, a 1992 car back then. And it was being, they gave me $500 for it. Now, when they get that car, the car is worth more money in parts than it is as a whole, right? They sell the fenders, they'll sell the quarter panels, the seats, the interior, whatever, the rims, you know, the engine and the transmission. So by the time they get through with that car that they gave you $500 for, they're probably going to make $3,000 or $4,000 with, depends on how they price it. I don't know the pricing of it. I'm not in that business. But I use that same analogy for the little coffee pot I picked up. I said, listen, I could sell it as a whole and just say it needs a heating element, and someone could buy the whole pot as it is and put the heating element. All right. I decided to take it apart. I sold the stem where it holds the coffee basket. And I have people looking at the lids. I'm basically selling it in parts. And I already had made my money and then some back just from selling the stem. Okay. And I have other people looking at different parts, the top of the basket, you know, the basket itself, and so on and so forth. So I know for that little $5 investment that I bought that coffee pot for, I broke it down and selling it in parts, I will make at least, well, with the figures I'm looking for with selling it for best offer, at least 3 to 4 times what I paid for it, maybe even more. Okay. So yes, that is another untested item. Okay, it went from an item I thought was going to work, because normally when I buy these, that is the very first pot, an untested pot I bought that did not work, was the heating element is bad. But I know I already made my money back. Okay, so basically I bought, you know, 2 untested items, the Sony Handycam camcorder and that pot. And the printer, like I said again, that HP printer I got for nothing. So I have 3 untested items. One I'm keeping, which is the Handycam. And the other one is the pot, which I had to break down in parts. And I already made my money back. So I'm not worried about that. And the printer, you know, I thought it was going to work. It's clean. It looks like brand new. It's up on eBay right now. And I got that untested. But I really... You know, I really did honestly think it was going to work. And I for that there, I spent $14 to, you know, test it out. I had to buy ink, and then after I put the ink in it, and then I was able to test it out. And it's too bad because it is a nice printer. So long story short, for those who are listening to this podcast, if you're wondering what my answer is going to be as far as like buying untested items for eBay, and this is my own personal opinion, you know, you could take it for what it's worth. I would definitely continue to do that with the notion that even though you're buying something, it's not working, you could sell it for parts, okay? And you most likely will make your money back by selling it for parts, seriously. So, yeah, as far as that part goes, I mean, if you and do it only if you feel comfortable, all right? Do it only if you feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable and you're saying, I don't want to put money into it, I want something that's going to work so I could take it home, clean it, take photos, and put it up on eBay, that's it. I don't want to be bothered ordering parts and this, that, and the other thing to make a sale, then don't do it. But again, if you're a person that buys things untested, you can still make money with an untested item, okay? Now, on this podcast, Anchor gives me 30 minutes to do my video. I mean, not my video, my podcast. And I'm on the 28 minute mark here. So I just want to say, you know, I just want to give a little advertisement to my YouTube channel. First, if you want to check that out, just type in Richard J. Pacini and you go to Google. And this, not Google, when you go to YouTube, type in the search engine, Richard J. Pacini. You will see a listing of my videos. I do the reseller news. I do Let's Talk eBay. I am also a vlogger as well. And if you want to get an idea about what I'm selling on eBay, my eBay user ID is shop-rjpacini-4-great-deals. Check it out. Check my listings out if you get a chance. I have been accepting a lot of best offers, okay? And as long as they're reasonable, I will accept them. Now, we're coming close here to ending this video, so I just want to say thank you again to the people who have tuned into my podcast. If you like my podcast, I hope you will be a regular, you know, listener. I will try to put these out whenever I have the time. I like to try to do it weekly, but I've been so busy doing other things. But this is episode 11, and I hope you like it, and I hope you'll keep coming back. And so next time, My name is Rich Bassini. If you are an eBay seller or think of selling, good luck and best of luck in sales. Bye-bye.